Coming up, I'm going to share some career moves you need to make before you're 40. And then a woman fired over a TikTok series of posts. A Chilean man paid 330 times his salary. What did he do? And we're going to coach you up. Let's go. Coaching you to make more money and experience more meaning in your work. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. I'm your coach, your counselor, cheerleader, all in one phone call. When we get to that part of the show, you're welcome to join us, 844-747-2577. But let's talk about coaching. Yeah, let's do a little locker room talk here to start the show. Recently, we did a topic on a show entitled Top Career Moves to Make Before Your 30s, and it did very well. If you'd like to go look that up, probably link to us here on YouTube, but you can go check that out. And so by popular demand, we're going to keep the series going. It's not a series, but we just decided let's add to this. So I'll do a quick review just to kind of set the context for this teaching, and then give you some specific things that I think you ought to be thinking about and doing in your 30s before you hit the age of 40. And again, this is a general rule of thumb. This is not in any way, in my opinion, an exhaustive list. So some things that we laid out in a previous show on career moves to make before your 30s were learn how to be a good follower. I underscored the importance of as you move up and get promoted in any professional setting, you will eventually be put, or there's a high rate of possibility you will move into some type of management or leadership position. And one of the best ways to learn how to lead is to learn how to follow. And so the focus in your 20s is just be a good follower, be a good teammate. Learn how to accept authority. Learn how to thrive under authority and all that comes with that. Number two, I said you need to be a connector. Learn the art, and it is an art, and an art form of connecting with people. Not one of these leeches who connects to people and you're a mooch. Not a butt kisser who only connects to authority for opportunity. You know, not one of these people who you're like a vampire, you're only looking to use people for their relationships, but to truly connect with people relationally, because it is the person who becomes a world-class connector that will never want for opportunity. Number three, I said, always be learning and growing. Take on the form of a student. You come into your 20s in your professional life and you leave college many times, and your whole life you've been in the classroom. It's all you can remember. And the last thing you want to do is be a student. I get that. But now we get to learn things that we care about, learn things that we want to add to our tool belt to make us eligible for opportunities to grow and thus have a better life. So always be learning and growing, learning and then challenging yourself with what you learn. Number four was discover your sweet spot, that connection of talent, passion, and mission that is really the core of what we teach here for great clarity on who you uniquely are and what your unique contribution could and should be. You use what you do best, talent, to do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter to your mission. And so the final piece in the 20s was find a mentor. Learn the value of wisdom. Wisdom. Not knowledge. Wisdom. And getting older men and women in your life that can give you wisdom because they've got a lot of experience. And they care for you. So we only have a list of four here in the 30s because, again, I think you could essentially take, the reason I review those five is because you could take those five with you into your 30s as well. However, four specific call-outs that I think you need to do in your professional life in your 30s to continue to set you up for what I believe in your 40s and 50s and 60s is the great season of harvest. I believe that if you do it right in your 20s and your 30s, you set yourself up for your 40s, 50s, and 60s being the moment and the decades where you really harvest all of the labor, the fruit, the vegetables, all the things. They come home, baby. They blossom, they bloom, and tremendous meaning and absolutely exceptional money can be earned. So here are four things. Number one, learn to lead. So we talked about learning to follow. Now, in your 30s, this is the decade where you need to accept the challenge and step into leading people. Learning to lead is learning to serve, and leadership can be learned. Leadership is A simple concept, yet a difficult role. Leadership is a simple concept, but a difficult role. Simple to understand in that ultimately your job as a leader is to help the men and women you lead win. Help them win, period, done. That's the simplest form of defining leadership. Help people win. So it's simple in defining the role, simple in the objective. Very difficult. Why? People. The greatest thing about leadership is people. The suckiest thing about leadership is people. They'll break your heart. They'll disappoint you. They'll stab you in the back. All the things, because we're just people. Get over it. You can do it. You got to learn to lead. The decade of your 30s, when you can begin to get leadership experience, is what is going to set you up for maximizing your potential long term. Number two, change your tribe. Change your tribe. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I should have put this in the list for the 20s, but I told you that this stuff is not an exhaustive list and it's not an exclusive list. But in your 20s, I didn't put it in there initially because in your 20s, you're developing a tribe, right? You won't see a lot of high school relationships and college relationships stay with you in your professional life as you become an adult. You just won't. The data says this. This isn't my opinion, but it's true in my life. There's only one guy from my high school years that I stay in touch with, and that's very sparingly. Love the guy, but that's just reality. There are a handful of guys that I stay in touch with from college. So you will be developing a new tribe in your 20s, thus in your 30s, I want you taking wholesale inventory of the tribe, the people you spend the most time with, personally and professionally, because they dictate your success. It's just true. Data upon data upon data upon data proves this out. So change your tribe. Begin to pare the tree down, right? We're going to cut that tree down. We're going to cut the ugly branches off. We're going to get really serious and intentional about the people we spend time with. Number three, take some calculated career risk. I didn't say take risk, crazy risk. I said calculated, meaning you take the risk. If it doesn't work out, and maybe it's a pivot, maybe it's starting a business, but it's a calculated risk. But if it fails, it doesn't screw up your life. It's a minor delay, a minor frustration. At best, that's a calculated risk. Might not work out. But in your 30s, that's when we do this. Even late 20s, take some calculated risk. And finally, I believe in your 30s, you're at a point now where you can begin to chart your vision. I'm talking your big, hairy, audacious vision. I'm talking a vision that takes 30 years of gut-busting effort. Chart your vision. I think in your 30s, now that vision might change when you're in your 40s, but you'd be surprised at how a 30-something can chart a vision that is the vision for the rest of their life, and you'd be surprised at how many times it may lead to the ultimate vision that you polish in your 40s. So I want you to chart a vision. Here's the bottom line about your 30s. It's time to start getting serious. We're not playing around anymore. We're preparing to meet our full potential. Don't move. More show coming right up. I have a question. Have you ever had a moment when you discover something new? Could be any area of your life, right? Could be a product, could be an app, a restaurant, a television show, right? All the things. Maybe it's when you picked up a new hobby or moved to a new city, but this can actually happen with your work. Is it possible, folks, that just like you discover a new show on Netflix or Amazon Prime, or you discover some new restaurant that your friends told you about, that you could discover a new career path, a new job, or two or three or four or five or 10 that opens up possibilities that you never knew existed? I think it is. And that's why I endorse ZipRecruiter. They can help you find those awesome jobs that are made for you, just waiting for you to see them and then step into them. ZipRecruiter is like a personal recruiter for you. They pitch your profile to employers and send you jobs that match your skills and experience. I'm telling you, it's easy. Doesn't cost you a nickel. Takes you minutes, minutes max, to sign up a profile and let them go to work for you. This is the biggest no-brainer in the history of broadcasters asking his or her audience to do anything. Take me up on it. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. All right, couple stories to get to in the news. So last month, a young lady by the name of Lexi Larson posted on her TikTok account about how she got a new job in the tech industry that gave her a raise, a sizable raise. She went from $70,000 to $90,000. So, you know, these young people, I don't know how old she is, but these young people, they literally live their entire lives on TikTok. It's extraordinarily concerning. You know, I mean, every thought, every emotion, it's on TikTok. And it's getting worse, by the way, Alex. I was frequenting spring break this year, and, you know, trying to be in proximity of my teenagers as they're hanging out with other teenagers down in Seaside, Florida, which has just become like, it's terrible. And I'm watching these kids interact. And Alex, they would literally be in a huddle, as kids are known to do. Adults do this. But, and I'm not picking on girls because guys do it too. But I remember seeing this one group of girls standing near where my daughter and her friends were. And so it was just kind of in that natural eyesight. And I looked over and they're all talking. But in between phrases, they would all go to their phone and then take selfies or say something to their phone and then interchangeably go right back to the conversation. And it was like six or eight of them, Alex, and they're all doing it at the same time. And so now it's just a part of their life. Hey, I'm talking to my friend Susan, and she just told me about this. And that's on TikTok. And then Susan's right there. So by the way, is there any teenage girl on the planet named Susan anymore? I don't know where I came up with that name. So anyway, this girl, Lexi Larson. I think it is absurd that you would go on TikTok and tell somebody how much money you make. Am I the only one? Anybody else in the, I mean, there's a certain generational thing that was like, we don't talk about that. My own kids ask me how much money I make, and I go, it's none of your freaking business. I'm serious. They're like, why, Dad? Because you'll tell your friends. You're broke. Why don't you focus on the fact that you're broke, not on trying to find out how much money I make? Right. So I think it's crazy that she did this, but she did it. So the video got 168,000 views. That's not like huge, but it's a nice amount. And for the next 2 weeks, she starts posting more videos about how she got the job. So now all of a sudden, you can just see this. Lexi thinks she's an expert. Or now everybody, oh, wow, you went from 70 to 90. Now everybody wants to know more. She's like, well, here's what I did. So she keeps posting videos. And then she finds out that her employer that she just got the new job with discovered her TikTok account. And this is interesting to me. Upon discovering that her new company and her leaders discovered the account, she removed some of the videos. Why? She was worried they might get angry. Oh, interesting. So they didn't tell her to remove any of them. She thought, you know what she had? She had the cringe factor. My kids, they tell me this. I'll do something stupid and cheesy in the house. And my daughter, Josie, likes to tell me I'm cringy. It's like a word now. And so this gal knew that what she'd done was cringy. I'm just telling you, her actions lay it out. So she deletes them. Too little, too late, because they fired her. So we're going to show you just a little bit of her response, her takeaway, because then she goes on TikTok after getting fired, of course, and has to tell everybody that she was fired. This is what she said. Let's watch, and then I'll comment.
So TikTok got me fired. A couple weeks ago, I started sharing about how I got a job in the tech industry. Well, I don't work at that job anymore because they fired me. I had to sign a bunch of stuff, so I'm like really nervous about going too far into detail here. But
and yet,
my employer found
she's still on there telling everybody
really,
about
really did not like that I was sharing my salary and stuff like that. even though I'm very aware that like talking about salary is federally protected, you can't get fired for that. I did take all of those videos down just because, you know, they were my employer and I didn't want them to be mad at me or not like me or something. But then like 2 days later, after they talked to me about my TikTok account, they ended up firing me because they said me having this account was a security concern because I could post something private about the company on my TikTok account. That's and I fair. Did specifically ask, like, have I broken any policies? Have I posted anything on TikTok that is a security concern? And they said, not at this time, I have not, but it could happen at any time in the future. So they're just not going to take that risk
all right. with me. I've seen enough. All right. So I like that she lays this out. And she is right. Just for those of you that are asking, I want to point something out. She's half right. Okay. Can you get fired over other social media posts? The answer is yes. Is it legal? Is it technically legal to discuss your salary? Well, there is a law called the National Labor Relations Act, and employees have the right to communicate with fellow employees about their wages. So legally, you can do it. But you know what? A company can and will fire you over social media stuff. And whether or not this company's true blue on why they thought she was a security risk, I don't know. I don't care. She can hire an employee attorney and go after if she thinks she has cause. I support that as well. But the lesson here is this company's looking at that and they're going, that makes me uncomfortable. By the way, let me remind you, she felt it was a little cringy and she took the post down, but it was too late. They're like, I don't trust her judgment. She's in tech. She sees sensitive stuff in this tech position. Our company. She could go on TikTok and tell the whole world about some proprietary product. They're right about that. It's a legit concern. She got fired for judgment. So there you go. All right. Then this story. This is a Fortune.com article. Chilean man who was accidentally paid 330 times his salary resigns and then vanishes. You don't say. You don't say. He got paid 330 times his actual check, Nathan, and we can't find him anywhere. I promise you this, he ain't missing. Don't be worried. Don't put out whatever the Chilean form of the All Points Bulletin FBI man missing video. He ain't missing. Let me tell you what he is doing. He's hiding and he's counting. He's counting his money. Quick story on this. He worked at some industrial company that makes cold cuts, turkey and bologna and ham. And he usually received a paycheck of about 500,000 Chilean pesos. That's about $550 direct deposited into his account. In the most recent pay period on May 30th, this wasn't long ago, through a screw up from company HR, got him a deposit of, are you ready for this, folks? $165,398. $165 million pesos. It's $183,000. Sorry. So $183,000 US is what this guy got. And he's usually getting about $555. He took the matter to his manager at first to report the overpayment. The company told him to go to his bank and initiate the return. He promised to go there the next day, but he must have had a change of heart because we don't know where he is. I'll tell you where he is. Hiding and counting. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. We are answering your questions to help you get in the right gig, the right seat, right bus, meaning it's in your sweet spot. That's the right seat. You're spending most of your day using what you do best to do work you love to produce results that actually matter to you. That's the right seat. Right bus is right culture, right company, where they treat you well and you're not burning out while trying to actually be who you were created to be. And that's going to turn into more money and more meaning and a much better life. It's just that simple. Kristen is joining us in Lumberton, Texas. Kristen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Yes! Can you hear me?
Oh, my goodness, Ken, I hear you, and I hear the enthusiasm. I love it.
I'm so excited. Ah!
me too. This is going to be great. What's going on?
Okay, I'll get right to the point. Okay, so almost 2 years ago, my husband got onto a special project at his work, but they had to work 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hour shifts every single day for 8 months.
Ugh.
We knew it was going to be 8 months, and we're like, well, let's do it because it'll get him into a safer position in the refinery and a little bit of a raise. Well, it was only supposed to be 8 months, but now it's been almost 2 years, and he's still stuck on the 7 day a week schedule.
Oh, my.
And people are starting to quit left and right because they're tired of it.
Yeah.
But now, so since so many people are quitting, let me slow down. I'm sorry if I'm talking.
You're doing great.
Okay. Since so many people are quitting, now they're going to be forced to work 16-hour shifts to cover those other people's shifts. So now there's no end in sight, and we have just been desperately looking for a new job so my husband can have his life back and, you know, get to see us again. He's just completely exhausted. The work environment is toxic. The management will cause issues with it's a long story, but the management will cause issues with how things work. And then they also drag their feet and they don't want to hire more people because it costs money.
Sure.
So anyways, if they were to hire somebody today, it still takes around a year for those people to get hired and be able to fill in those holes.
So I have a question.
Properly.
I have a question.
So what I'm saying is there's no end in sight.
No.
Even if they started hiring people today,
what is
still
keeping,
no end in sight.
Kristen, what's keeping your husband from leaving this? You've made an incredible case that says this is borderline nuts for him to stay in this environment.
Yes, it's absolute insanity. He is looking for a job. He's trying to get out right now, but I guess I was just wondering if you had any helpful advice. He's been looking at other local refineries to see if they're hiring. We're ready to just ditch shift work.
Is he in
altogether.
The oil business?
Yes, yes. He works
at... Is he exclusively looking in the oil industry up to this point?
I wouldn't say exclusively, but it's almost like we don't know where to look. There's so many jobs with cool little nooks and crannies that we don't know about. You know, it's like you have to know somebody.
Well,
obviously you teach that. But,
yeah, but so let me tell you this. So he has, you know what you guys need to do? He's probably going to be dead tired. So maybe you get out, you know, the computer or pencil and paper, whatever. And I think you guys need to make a list. And I think it's pretty simple. I think there's two columns. Whether it's an Excel spreadsheet or a piece of paper. And I think the first list is what skills he has acquired. I mean, just think of the skills he has. And I'm talking technical skills on an oil rig. I'm talking about people skills. You know, if you were to talk to the people he works with and the people that would just truly vouch for him and say good things about him, what would they say? You guys need to capture that information. The second column is not just the skills, but now, like, all the different experiences he has. So skills, I want that to be one list, and experience the other, right? So, well, I have these skills, but I have the experience of managing a rig, crew, blah, blah, blah. And boy, I'm out of my zone here. I got no language. I got no oil rig language here. But, you know, what are the experiences that he has? And what we're doing here is we're creating a conversation for you two to have to go, so this is what you're really good at, and this is the experience you bring to the table. Now we can go, based on Ken Coleman, you listen to my show, watch it all the time, and go, what kind of work does he really want to do? Now, that's the third list, and he can do that. He doesn't have to know titles, but he can go, you know, I'd like to work in construction, or I want to be managing a crew that does this. What it is, he can answer that question, true or false, on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So now, that's the third column, and now we have some real details that we can go, we know what we're looking for now, right?
Yeah.
So when we know what we are actually looking for, we can see it as we're looking, and then we can find out where would those things be. So let me give you an example. If my kid comes home and goes, hey, Dad, I need a certain type of football helmet. It needs to be this, this, and this. Once he tells me what specifically he's looking for in a football helmet, now I know exactly what I'm looking for. And it also allows me to narrow down, you know, am I just going to go to a sporting goods site that may not have a specialty helmet? Or am I going to go, or am I going to go online and look who are making the best helmets out there, the safest football helmets for kids today with all the fancy specs? And I know it's going to cost me a lot of money, but who's making it? And is it better for me to go direct to the manufacturer, or do I go to a sporting goods store? Can I even go to the manufacturer? Do you understand my silly little example?
Yes, absolutely. I do.
But those three columns or buckets that I've walked you through, you guys got to fill that information out immediately tonight.
Yeah.
Because here's what happens. Now we go, oh, well, I mean, I filled this out, but I could do this for a construction company. You know, you guys also have a pretty narrow set of zip codes, I'm guessing, that you're looking in as well. Is that correct?
Yes, we want to stay in the Southeast Texas region.
Okay, so my point is, we're looking in Southeast Texas. What are the companies that hire the types of jobs that he's looking at? We go look directly at their websites. Hey, go to ZipRecruiter. It's free. It'll take you 5 minutes or less to fill out a profile for your husband on ZipRecruiter.
Okay.
I don't know if they're, I don't know if they're, what kind of jobs they got, but if has he ever led anybody before? Does he want to lead, or is it just he wants to be working with his hands all day? What's the deal?
He has no problem leading. He does do some leadership roles off and on at the refinery where he's working at now. Different projects
so,
to lead.
So if I'm sitting down having lunch with you guys, and we'd be having some good Texas barbecue, wouldn't we? I feel like that's what we'd be having.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I'd be looking at him in between wolfing down this Texas barbecue. There's some brisket. I'm envisioning some brisket. I'd go, bro.
Yes.
Dude, all that stuff you've done on an oil rig, you could probably do in the construction industry. You could do that in manufacturing. You could do that in logistics and warehousing. I mean, I would just be throwing ideas out and going, hey, what are all the industries, what are all the companies that could potentially have and then specifically do have positions that he has the skill and experience to be able to do? That's it. That's all we've got to do. Then we know where to look. And here's the last piece. Then we know who to talk to and what to talk about. So we're looking and we're talking. We're talking to every friend and family member we have in Southeast Texas or anybody that knows anybody in Southeast Texas. Say, hey, here's what my husband's been doing for the last X amount of years in the oil rig. He's really good at this. Bing, 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 bing. He's got a lot of experience doing this. Bing, 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 bing. Do you see how that becomes a whole lot easier search process?
Yes, yes.
All right, then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that what you needed?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just nervous because he has been looking.
Nervous about what?
I'm just nervous that we won't find anything. Like I said, he has been looking. He got a job offer recently, but then, and we thought we were going to take it, and it was a wonderful offer. But then we found out he would have to possibly fly out of the country for 2 weeks a month. Month.
Hold on a second. That actually shouldn't make you nervous. It should make you confident. You really haven't been searching very well, have you? Let's be honest. Not the way I just told you to do it. I'm not cracking on you. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You guys have found a pretty decent thing that looked great, except it had one little caveat. It's not right for us.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. There are tons of opportunities for your husband out there. This is one of the best hiring markets we've ever seen. Ever.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Not only can he get a great gig, I expect him to get a nice bump. You guys have got to focus all of your energy on searching the right way. We're not playing hide and go seek and randomly looking in rooms to find our friends. We know what we're looking for, and now you know how to look for it. Go look for it. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.